and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, redrock_bball, facebook.com/redrockbasketball, email is redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com, and of course, check out the YouTube channel where you can see videos. Obviously, it's YouTube, so check that out and subscribe over there as well. I'm back again with another of the Season in Review podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying the NBA Finals. I'm not sure when you're listening to this, but at the time of recording, it's 1-1 at the moment with the Cavs just getting that Game 2 in Golden State. You may be listening to this after Game 3, and obviously I can't predict the future. So it's been interesting so far, and I hope you guys are enjoying it. Season in Review podcast, talking today about the Dallas Mavericks. Yes, the Dallas Mavericks. It's going to be tough, this podcast, to be honest, because there's just so much uncertainty with this team moving forward. When we do the season preview podcast in a few months' time, it'll be a lot clearer. But as of this stage, the Mavericks have only got four players with a guaranteed contract for next season, or guaranteed to be on the roster next season. Chandler Parsons, Dirk Nowitzki, Devin Harris, and Dwight Powell. They've got restricted free agents. They've got unrestricted free agents. They've got three guys with player options. There could be a stack of turnover on this team. There could be minimal turnover, but there could be a stack of turnover. I'm going to do my best to look back on the players that did play and talk about maybe what holds true for them, as well as answering the questions that you guys sent through regarding the Mavericks. But it's just a weird team. It's a very weird team, and it was compounded by the fact that they brought Rajon Rondo over early on in the season, way before the trade deadline. And let's be honest, it didn't work out. Rondo was not good. He did not fit this team. The team, Dallas was flying before Rondo came across, offensively especially. Rondo brought them down significantly. He averaged 8.9 points only, 5.5 rebounds, which is great. That's in line with his season numbers, or his career numbers. But it's only 7.9 assists, and that sounds stupid to say, but Rondo had averaged the previous four seasons 11, 11.7, 11, 9.8, and he's down to 7.9. 1.3 steals, he's been known as a guy who's been an elite source of steals, but he hasn't been that guy for 4 years. He hasn't gotten big numbers of steals. He hasn't been a league leader in steals for years. He's a horrific shooter. 43% from the field is actually an improvement for him, but 40% from the free throw line. Granted, he only takes one attempt there. And if you're counting turnovers, he kills you in that category as well. So overall, Rajon Rondo, he's just not a good fantasy player. And a lot of people, they see the big assist numbers and love it. But honestly, he barely sneaks into the top 100. He was 94th in per game value. But the second half of the season, post All-Star break, 141st. He's not good. He's not a good roto player. That drags him down as well because of those poor percentages. And really, what you're getting from him is assist numbers, good assist numbers. You're getting okay steal numbers, and you're getting good rebound numbers for a point guard, but in the scheme of things, they're not great in terms of, you know, a good rebounder. He's not replacing a good power forward or a good center in terms of his rebounder, but he's a good supplement as a point guard in terms of his rebounding numbers. But even his rebounding numbers dropped. The last 3 months of the season, he only averaged 4.2 rebounds. Now, he was averaging a stack more in Boston, and that pushed his season average up to 5.5, but the last 3 months while he was in Dallas, much, much less. Those numbers while in Dallas, 4.2 rebounds, 6 assists, less than a steal, 8.3 points. Clearly, he didn't get along with Coach Rick Carlisle. We saw that in the playoffs. He gave up on his team. He's not coming back to Dallas. Where does he go? Does Rajon Rondo have a place in this NBA the way it's currently constructed? A guy who can't shoot, can't hit threes, can't score, can't do a number of things. He's got a role somewhere. It's, you know, does who signs him? What money do they give him? And what sort of role does he take on? Just wherever he goes, don't be fooled into thinking you're going to get a top 30 sort of prospect with Rondo, or a top 40 prospect, or he's going to be bouncing back or anything like that. He's very, very limited in what he can provide from a fantasy point of view. So don't be too fooled into it. I would be taking Rondo very, very late in drafts if he was available, but almost invariably with a name as big as his, you're going to see him pick before pick 100, and that's probably the area that I'd want to pick him. Now, the other point guards on this roster, we'll start with Devin Harris because he's one of the guys who's going to be there next season. He was good at times, but never really got enough minutes to be a consistent threat. He played 22 a game, which is okay. He averaged almost 9 points. a great source of threes, 1.3 triples, over three assists, a steal, 42 and 82 as percentages. So overall, not bad numbers from Devin Harris. And on a per-game basis, he was 145th for head-to-head leagues, 117th in total head-to-head. So he was useful. You know, in 12-team leagues, he was a guy that sort of should have been in, on and off rosters depending on the situation. And there is a real chance, depending on how things go with Dallas, that he could be in line for maybe a bigger role next season. It all depends on what they do in free agency and in the draft. But with Rondo likely not going to be there, with Monte Ellis got a player option, with Raymond Felton with a player option, JJ Barea is an unrestricted free agent. There's a chance that Harris is pushed into a bigger role next season. I don't think we're ever going to see him becoming a great player. But if he was into a 30-minute-a-game role, he becomes a top 120-type player where you have to pay some sort of attention to him. And JJ Barea came across. He was waived by the Timberwolves, signed by the Mavericks, played 18 minutes a game for the season, 7.5 points, 3.5 assists. He was a great source of assists in those games that Rondo missed because he would start. Harris would play off the bench, and he'd give you good value. He was fantastic in daily fantasy value, but overall 277th in fantasy value in head-to-head leagues. It's not very good, clearly. In per 36 numbers, 153, so it shows that when he did get some minutes, he was okay. He wasn't fantastic, but he was okay. But again, his future is up in the air, and he's a backup at best. He's never going to get big minutes. He's going to be a guy who's likely a 16 or 18 team league player. Ray Felton, good old Ray Felton, played 10 minutes a game in his 30 games, finishes the 367th ranked player. That's not good. We know that. The thing with Ray Felton is the times where he got minutes, especially in New York, he was always able to put up numbers which were relevant for fantasy leagues. He was never a good player, but he was always able to put up numbers. Yeah, if he got the equivalent minutes of Rajon Rondo, you'd get better numbers out of Ray Felton than Rondo. And that's just one of the things that, because it's frustrating from a fantasy point of view when you know there's a guy who can put up some sort of numbers but doesn't get the opportunity, but you completely understand why he doesn't get the opportunity. And that's because he's Ray Felton. As a guy with a player option, you would imagine that Felton would stick around for another $4 million next season. And again, he could be pushed into a decent role depending on who else comes back, but I wouldn't be expecting anything to do with Raymond Felton in standard leagues. Let's move on to Monte Ellis now. And there is talk coming out that he is going to decline his $8.7 million player option for next season and test out free agency, which would really, really hurt the Mavericks, because at this stage, he probably is their best player. He played 34 minutes a game, highest on the team. 19 points, again, highest on the team. 2.5 rebounds, 4 assists, a 3, 1.9 steals, 45 and 75 as percentages. And we always hear of Monte Ellis being a volume gunslinger, but 45% is not a bad percentage for a guy who's the point guard. And realistically, before Rondo came across, he was the guy handling the ball the most, as you see by him averaging the 4 assists a game. He's not going to be a point guard, a full-time point guard. He probably needs someone to play next to him. But he is a guy who handles the ball quite a bit. So if he is back in Dallas, I expect him to have a bit of a better season than last season. Now, that's saying he finished 27th in head-to-head value total, 52nd on a per-game basis, but I reckon we could see him put himself into the top 35 in per-game basis if he isn't back in Dallas and he is asked to carry more of the load offensively or handle the ball more offensively. I think because that value of him getting, say, he could get 4.5, maybe 5 assists a game, he could do that and increase his scoring as well, we might see a bit of a better player. Now, he struggled significantly down the stretch, 90th in per-game value post-All-Star break. Don't really have much of an explanation for that, to be honest. Sometimes things just happen, and he did struggle. He did have some injury problems, so that's part of it, and I wouldn't be too concerned about it moving forward. No matter where he goes, if he does go somewhere in free agency, he's going to have a pretty good role. So I'd imagine that he would fit into that player around the 50s that you look to draft around that time, and definitely with some with upside to jump himself into the ranks of the 20s. Not many other shooting guards on this roster, and by not many others, I mean none. Like, Devin Harris can play the two a bit as well, but really, it's Ellis, and Harris, you know, sort of splits his time there. Let's move on to the wing players. Chandler Parsons. We had a question come through about Chandler Parsons. Comes through on Instagram. Remember, you can ask me questions on Instagram as well, from Jasmine, who's at jsierra_b. My question for the podcast is, do you believe Chandler Parsons will have a better year in this coming up season? And what do you think in a 10-team standard category league should his ADP be? It's a good question. because he was a little bit disappointing. He ranked 90th in per game value. Definitely a drop down from his time in Houston. But there's reasons for that. He only played 66 games, so he's dealing with injury clearly. That knee surgery, which he suffered during the playoffs, this could be an issue for him for next season. We don't know exactly. We think he's going to be okay to return for training camp, but it could affect the start of his season next season. His ADP, I reckon he's going to be picked around the 80s next season. That would be my guess. He was picked a bit higher than that this season, but his numbers definitely dropped. But he played four less minutes a game and only saw a drop of less than a point a game. He hit more threes a game. Now, what did happen is his rebound and his assist numbers dropped. His percentages dropped marginally as well, but they also were significantly worse at the start of the season, and he got it going towards the end. The last 2 months, he was hitting his field goals at 49%. That's good. Now, I went on a discussion about this on the podcast early last season. It's akin, he's in a new job. Like, he's doing the same job, but in a completely new company. So there's always something you've got to get used to, playing with different players. And then the Mavericks made the change with Rondo, so a complete change there as well, which would have mucked him up. He wasn't someone who's comfortable with all these players. I think in his second season at the new team, he's going to have a bounce back season. Yeah, instead of being the 90th guy per game, I reckon he jumps up and is a top 70 player, maybe a top 65 player. He gets his percentages back going. He starts to distribute the ball a bit more without Rondo there. Yeah, Rondo's 7.9 assists have got to go somewhere. I think he can start distributing the ball a little bit more. Even if it doesn't go to four, he gets 3.2 assists a game. The scoring was, well, the three-pointers were good. He hit his threes at 38%, and he's been a consistent 37 to 38% three-point shooter for the last couple of seasons. I think he gets his scoring back up, and on a team in such flux, he's going to be a key part of what they're doing. The only issue is that knee surgery. Hopefully he comes back full of running and ready to go. But it is definitely a little bit concerning that he has got, he did suffer that knee injury. Al-Farouq Aminu, love this guy, love him. I think he's a great defensive player, definitely. Now, he's got a player option for $1 million as well. I think there's almost no doubt he declines that because he can make himself a fair bit of money. He played just 19 minutes a game, but he got 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds. He hit half a three a game, 0.8 steals, 0.9 blocks. And again, it's always hard to look at those numbers in perspective and go, yeah, but it's, yeah, they're not big. Okay, per 36. 11 points, 9 rebounds, a 3, 1.8 steals, 1.6 blocks. His percentages need work. He hit his threes at 27%, and he's hit three-pointers less than 30% the last four seasons. So he's not a great three-point shooter, even though he still takes them, and he still, you know, he hits one a game, but it depends on what categories your league is counting. But a guy who can get big rebound numbers, we saw him, his per 36 rebound numbers the last few seasons, 9, 8.7, 10.2. So he's a good rebounder when he gets playing time. He's a great guy at defense, big steal numbers, big block numbers. It all depends on what sort of situation Al-Farouq Aminu finds himself in. 192nd in per game value last season, and that is a lot to do with those limited minutes. If he can play 25 to 26 minutes, which is definitely possible, I would love to see him play a much bigger role. I think he can develop into a real fantasy star, an unsung star in the realms of a 12-team league or maybe even a 14. Well, he's definitely a 14-team league guy at this point, I would think, assuming he can get himself 24 minutes. But I reckon he could become a staple in 12-team leagues if he is in the right situation. Richard Jefferson, the corpse of Richard Jefferson, he was an unrestricted free agent. He actually played a pretty important role for this team. It didn't really translate all that much into fantasy, although when Chandler Parsons was injured, he did have to step up and fill the starting role, and he did that okay. He hit a three a game in 17 minutes, 5.8 points, not much else, but three-pointers at 43%, that's key. He played that sort of three-point bench old man marksman that Vince Carter played the season before, and he did it pretty well, and he was a great play in daily fantasy at a cheap salary in those times when he got minutes. 347th in per game value means we don't need to deal with him too much. From a fantasy point of view, we don't know where he's going to be playing, what sort of role he's going to have next season. But remember, when he gets some minutes, he can go out there and score, and he can go out there and hit three-pointers. Let's turn our attention to the big men now. We'll start with Dirk Nowitzki. Yeah, the greatest player in Mavericks history. struggled. I think that's fair to say. His per-game value at 80th is a far cry from the top 30 value he put up the season before. He still, look, he played a lot of games. He played 77 games, so his roto value in total was at 41, was pretty impressive, but he just wasn't the same guy. He played less than 30 minutes a game, 17 points, 1.5 threes, 5.9 rebounds. He obviously no steals, no blocks, 46% from the field, which is a big reason why his value fell, considering he shot 50 and 90 the year before, down to 46 and 88. It's enough of a drop, plus that drop in points, the slight drop in rebounds, a drop in his assists, his steal and block numbers dropped, his minutes dropped. It's not looking good for Dirk at this point now. Depending on who they get to come in, he may be forced into a bit of a larger role, and he's still going to be a very, very good scorer. But the other numbers, the percentage might drop, the rebound numbers aren't likely to ever be good, really. I think it's going to be really hard to take Dirk inside the top 50, to be honest. He was a guy that was probably picked inside the 20s or 30s last season. I wouldn't be going near him inside the top 50. Some people possibly will, but I just don't. It's hard for a guy that old to have a big bounce back like you'd be expecting him to if you think he's going in the top 50. Per game 80, that's about right to me. He's last half of the draft sort of player. Still quite effective, still good to watch, still goes out there and does what he needs to do. But it's going to be tough for him to get back to that top 20, top 30 value that he had in 2013-14. Backups to Dirk, there's not a lot there, really, at all. There's guys like Charlie Villanueva, an unrestricted free agent. Amari Stoudemire, an unrestricted free agent. Players who just aren't good. Now, Al-Farouq Aminu played a fair bit of backup four as well. And the other guy, one of the other guys that actually got signed for next year, Dwight Powell, who came across in the Rajon Rondo deal, is still there as well. Let's talk Villanueva. He had times when he got really hot. We hit threes in bunches. He actually averaged averaged 1.3 triples a game in just 11 minutes. That's fantastic. But he's just never going to get more minutes than that. He's never going to start playing 25 minutes and hitting 2.5 threes a game. But in times when he's forced into action, you know you're going to get bunches of threes and you're going to get pretty decent scoring from Charlie V. You're going to get nothing else, but just be aware that he can do that in bunches. Much like Richard Jefferson, 338th for Villanueva in his per-game value. Dwight Powell finished 417th in the 29 games that he played, 8 minutes a game, 3 points, 1.5 rebounds. Not much to get excited about with him, except he was a rookie, so he's a young player. He can develop, and with all these other guys like Stoudemire, Villanueva around, there's a chance for him to start grabbing a bit more playing time and become maybe a guy that in very deep dynasty leagues you want to grab at the end of a draft, because these other guys won't be around. We don't know if Stoudemire will be there. We don't know if Villanueva will be there. We might see 15 to 18 minutes out of Dwight Powell and someone who can definitely have a big leap from first year to second year. So bear that in mind that he's a guy on the way up, whereas the other guys like Villanueva and Stoudemire are on the way down. Now, Stoudemire is an interesting case. He played 59 games and 21 minutes a game. Early on in the season for the Knicks, he was a must-own player. He was putting up great numbers in pretty good minutes. He ended up playing 21 minutes a game, 11.5 points, 5.6 rebounds, 56% and 72 is his percentages. They're quite good, half a steal, 0.6 blocks. But then the injuries took hold again. He was waived by New York and he dropped off significantly. His per game numbers of 152 compared to the second half of the season at 246 shows what a stark contrast, and that coincides with his time in Dallas. We don't know if he's going to be back in Dallas. We're not going to know if Dallas wants him, but at this point, he's nothing more than a role player that should only be not valued for dynasty purposes, but used as a stopgap and in deep, deep 16, 18 team leagues. When he's healthy, he can definitely still turn it on, but the problem is that just happens so few and far between. Tyson Chandler came across back to Dallas in the trade with the Knicks. Not a great trade. He is an unrestricted free agent. What happens with him is up in the air, but he had a pretty good season. He was 47th in per-game value, the only one of the Dallas Mavericks to finish inside the top 50 in per-game fantasy value. He's a decent roto player as well, 51 total, 33 total for head-to-head leagues. Did drop off a bit at the end of the season, but he was basically just a beast with his rebounding. 10.3 points, 11.5 rebounds, over a block a game, and 67% from the field. That's a big bounce back because we saw him drop significantly in his last season in New York and his field goal percentage dropped as well. He was back at 67 and 72 from the free throw line. So if you're looking for a guy to really bump your field goal percentage, chuck in some blocks and give you big rebounds, He gives you that. He's very limited offensively. He doesn't do anything with assists, can't hit threes. Free throw percentage is okay. But he is a pretty talented player. Now, where he fits in terms of rankings, it depends a lot on where he goes. If he stays in Dallas, I think he still remains a top 60 sort of player because he's going to have to get those rebounds. Dirk's not going to be pushing him for rebounds. He's going to block shots and he's going to just play close to the rim and get a big percentage of field goals in, like over 60%. So if he's back in or in another team with a similar situation like that, he can be a player who provides limited but effective fantasy value. And you know, taking him, you wouldn't have to take him inside the top 50. I'm pretty convinced about that. I reckon he's a top 70, maybe top 80 sort of player. And I think that's pretty significant value, assuming that he gives you what you need. The backups on this team leave a lot to be desired. So if he leaves, they're going to need someone in there desperately. Bernard James and Greg Smith. James played 10 minutes, 2.8 points, 2.4 rebounds. He's not the answer. He is a good shot blocker, though. He blocked almost a shot a game in 10 minutes. So he's one of those guys that, if he's pressed into extended action, can be a guy to chuck in to give you those block numbers. And that's why, in only 10 minutes a game, he was 286th in per game value. Greg Smith, on the other hand, offers not much. He's a good shooter, 61%. And by shooter, I mean dunker. 1.9 points, 1.9 rebounds, so a double-double sort of pace there. But I don't think either of those guys are the answer to any question, unless the question is who are the worst backups in the NBA, because that's about where those two guys fit. They need a lot of help, this team. And that brings me to a question that was asked by Barry Baker. Barry Baker, Barry Baker, the podcast question maker. Barry, what question do the Mavericks need to strengthen in the upcoming draft? Give us a few names, please, Josh. Okay, what position do they need to strengthen? It all depends on what happens with these free agents, but let's assume that Monte is back and Chandler is back and Rondo is gone. They need a point guard, and they need one desperately. I'll give you some names. I think Jerry and Grant and Tyus Jones are going to be significant if they're available. If one of those two guys goes there, they're going to be a fantasy factor. They won't be a fantasy factor early on, but I think that by the end of the season, they'll be must-own guys in 12-team leagues, depending on who's there. But I can see either Tyus Jones or Jerry and Grant heading across to Dallas, possibly being the starter or playing 25 minutes off the bench and being a 12-team league guy. It does all depend on how things are approached through free agency, but they'd fit in pretty well. It also bears mentioning that Mavericks did draft Dennis Schroeder 2 years ago and traded him to Atlanta, so you can imagine if they had him, how much better things would be. It would be pretty awesome, actually, if they had Dennis Schroeder. But I think Tyus Jones or Jerry and Grant are two guys they want to look at with that pick. And that reminds me, talking draft, that myself, Mark Roberts, and Matt Smith are going to be having a mock draft podcast coming the weekend of the 20th and 21st of June. We're going to be covering the draft, obviously doing a mock draft between the three of us and talking some draft issues. We will send out some tweets and Facebook and Instagram posts, you know, asking any questions you've got specific to the draft, and then yeah, we'll have that going. Make sure you're checking out things on YouTube channel, through all the social media accounts of myself and all the contributors to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball podcast, like Matt, like Mark, like Seth as well. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.